Okay, good evening, gentlemen.
How about keep lashes?
We're continuing with the Rambam Hilchas Shofar, the laws of Shofar, Perek Aleph, Halacha Ches, Chapter 1, Law 8. No, it took quite a while. We had a lot of questions yesterday.
We had a video as well.
We saw a video of making a shofar. It's mamish before. It's mamish quick on the draw. It was unbelievable.
I didn't see it on the
Rafal will tell you where to get it.
You have an attachment, Rafal, for the
things. Okay. The final halacha about what kind of shofar can you is acceptable and what kind of listening. Hatokea besoch habor. If a person blows a shofar when he's inside a pit, a big hole in the ground, he's inside a hole in the ground, he blows a shofar. O besoch hamor, or he's in a cave. Now, and let's say there's people in the pit with him, or people in the cave with him, and there's people outside the pit and outside the cave. What happens? So, osama omdim besoch habor v'amor, those people that are sitting inside the pit with him. And inside the cave with him, Yatsu, they fulfill their obligation because you're hearing the exact sound of the shofar. But va'omdim bachutz, but those people standing outside the pit or outside the cave, it depends what they're hearing. Im kol shofar shamu, if they hear the sound of a clear shofar, fine, Yatsu, they fulfill their obligation. Im kol havara, but if they hear the sound of an echo, Shamu, lo yatsu, you haven't fulfilled your obligation. You have to hear the sound of the shofar, not the sound of an echo of the shofar. Similarly, v'chena tokeh l'toch chavis gedola, what if somebody blows inside of a large barrel? Ukayetzva, or similar to that, im kol shofar shama, if you hear the noise coming out as a shofar noise, yatsu, you fulfilled your obligation. V'im kol havarosh shama, if you only hear the sound of an echo, lo yatsu, you have not fulfilled your obligation. So this halacha teaches us, it's not enough to know that the shofar was blowing. I mean, everyone can say, I heard 100 sounds come out of that cave. But they weren't 100 shofar sounds, those were echoes. Mm-hmm. That's the reverberated sound that's the, really, I don't know the halachas of echoes, but it's probably the sound of the wall.
What happens when you off the wall?
You're not hearing the actual sound. It's the sound coming off of the bouncing of the wall.
Secondary sound.
So l'chayra, this would be a good source for not being able to listen to a shofar that's blown into a microphone. Because you're hearing the sound of the microphone, right? Than the actual sound of the shofar, right? Same thing. So that's why you can't do that. Okay, Perek Shani. Even if it's in the washroom, what do you want? What? Oh, you're listening even in the washroom. He was in a non-Orthodox institution on Shabbos as a guest, whatever, and so that the speech, the drusha, whatever, the singing Musaf. In the shul, Musaf is beamed into the washroom.
Oh, you're kidding.
So you don't miss anything.
You mean on a screen?
No, the sound.
Henry, just the sound.
So you're not yotze with that either. You're right. Okay. Perek Shani, second chapter. Now the second chapter is going to discuss which people are obliged in the mitzvah and which people are not obliged in the mitzvah shofar. Hakol chayovim lishma kol shofar. Everyone is obliged to hear the sound of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, including Kohanim, Levim, v'Yisraelim. A Kohen, a Levi, and Yisrael. So you're wondering why do you have to say that? Isn't it obvious? A Kohen, last time I checked, is a Jew. And the Levi is a Jew as well. But the answer is, because all the Tekios, in the first chapter, how do we know that even the sound is from a horn, from a ram, and not from somewhere else? Because we compared it to the blowing that the Torah talks about Yovel, the Jubilee year.
Yeah.
Remember, there's two times we blow the shofar, Rosh Hashanah, and once every 50 years in the Jubilee year. Now, what's the significance of the Jubilee year? What happens in the Jubilee year? All property that was sold goes back. That's the whole point of the Jubilee. Now, the Kohanim and Levim, they don't have any land. So the Jubilee doesn't really affect them at all. So you think they're not part of the Jubilee process. Maybe they're not part of the Rosh Hashanah process. That's why he says, no, Kohanim and Levim are part of the Rosh Hashanah process. That's
they wouldn't have to hear the shofar from the Jubilee.
They're not affected by the law of the Jubilee. So if they're not affected by the law of Jubilee, maybe they're not affected by the law of Rosh Hashanah. You know, they're not involved with land. Maybe no connection to land. No connection to a Rosh Hashanah.
Is this specifically the sounding of the shofar at Rosh Hashanah?
Right. You'd think maybe not. Because we see that they're not, the whole Jubilee laws don't affect them. So maybe all the laws of Rosh Hashanah don't affect them. You don't have to hear the shofar. That's why he says Kohen and Levi. Continuing, Vigerim and converts, Vavadim Mishukhrarim and freed slaves, meaning they weren't originally Jews, they're all obligated in hearing the shofar. I might think, maybe a convert, not why, because we blow the shofar. One of the things to remember, the Akedas Yitzchak. Well, that's only going to be for Jews who were born as Jews. Or maybe to remember the giving the Torah at Sinai where the shofar was blown. They weren't there either, converts. But no, we say converts are still concluded part of the congregation of Israel. Now, Avol Noshim Vavodim Uketanim Piturim. Women, Canaanite slaves, and minors are exempt from the mitzvah. Why are they exempt? Because, you know, women are only obliged in doing positive mitzvahs that have no time limit. A mitzvah, shazman grama, a mitzvah with a time limit, women are free from those mitzvahs. They're not obliged. And the shofar mitzvah is clearly a time-bound mitzvah. It can only be done on that day in the daytime. That's it. It's a small window of opportunity. God will not hold women responsible to hear the shofar. Now, of course, we know that women, even if they're not responsible, they may perform it. But they're not obliged, and they certainly don't get rewarded as much as a man who is obliged to do it. So experience, that's what I always tell people, that what does a woman have a bigger obligation to do? Does she have a bigger obligation to eat the third meal on Shabbos, or does she have a bigger obligation to hear the shofar blown on Rosh Hashanah?
The third meal on Shabbos.
She has a bigger obligation to the third meal on Shabbos, because the Torah says, as the rabbis explain, every Jew has to eat three meals on Shabbos, and we know the laws of Shabbos, men and women are equal.
Even though that's time-bound and positive.
Because Shabbos is an exception to that rule, right? So they have to eat Shal Shudas. They don't have to hear the shofar. Fascinating.
Do we say that they've taken on?
So no, they've accepted upon themselves, but they're still not obliged. If a woman, okay, listen. There's certainly a positive benefit for a woman to hear the shofar, but let's say if you as a man don't go to hear the shofar, then you're considered a sinner because you have not done the positive mitzvah when it's supposed to be done. But you're
answers,
a sinner.
Answers who should look after the kids.
Right? So let's say theoretically, there's only one can go, and there's no second blowing, and that's it. Clearly the man goes and the woman doesn't go. It's not a question. He has to go. The woman has to go. Now, should women make an effort to go?
Yeah.
Certainly, it would be a good thing to do. It's beneficial. It's praiseworthy. They will not be rewarded as much as a man, because a man is obliged. When you're obliged, you get a greater reward. But they should make an effort. Should you try to get a babysitter? Yes. But if you can't, at the end of the day, it's not as bad as, let's say, not hearing the Megillah. Megillah, for example, a woman has to hear Megillah. You know, it's a time-bound mitzvah, but the women were also included in the miracle. Then you have to go get a babysitter.
And I guess you shouldn't bring a crying kid in so you can hear it if it's going
to
disturb.
That's right. Now, you know, to what extent should we try to make the shofar blowing for women? Should we have a second shofar blowing? Things like that. All right, then they say, yes, well, why not? If you can have them hear it and get a mitzvah for it, why not?
But then they only have to hear 30 blows or something.
Right, whatever. That's already how far you want to go. So clearly they're not obliged, but obviously, you know, you go tell a woman not to hear shofar, she's going to kill you. So what are you talking about? I'm not hearing the shofar. Of course I have to hear shofar. Say, how about Shal Shudas? I'm not hungry. So, listen, I don't complain women. Many men don't eat Shal Shudas.
Yeah,
which is worse. Well, just as bad. So, but that's clear. You have to do what Hashem wants you to do. That's what's clear. Yeah.
Why wouldn't there be a distinction for single women, because they don't have that time boundness that married women have, and secondly, we just going back to what you said on Megillah there, that would, isn't that more that's not deraisa where shofar would be deraisa?
Okay, so you're asking two questions. Number one, time bound mitzvahs is not only because a woman is married. Okay, there's many reasons given why women are free from time bound mitzvahs, and they're free even when they're single. It's not just because they're watching the kids.
Because of female.
That might be a simple reason, but there's much more deeper reasons.
Is that the Rabbanon or Doraisa, the freedom?
It's Doraisa. Women are not obliged in rabbinic or biblical mitzvahs that are time bound.
No, but does that come from the Torah or does it come from the rabbis?
The rabbis tell us that they're not obliged in that. That's defining the rules. They're defining the rules. So they're not obliged for many reasons. Just like I said, between Mincha Maariv, the fact that, you know, you hear one reason, there's 100 reasons for every halacha that we have. Right? I don't want to get into it. It's a whole other parsha. That's a good topic, but not for this right now. But there's many reasons why women are not obliged in time-bound mitzvahs. Because, you know, primarily men need to be structured by time. Women don't. Remember, the idea of a mitzvah is there to perfect some imperfection that you have. If you're okay without it, God wouldn't give you a mitzvah. Right? So men need a structure of time. Women do not. So therefore, any mitzvah that has to do with time, women, it's like telling a skinny man to go on a diet. Someone's fat, we give him a special mitzvah. It's called go on a diet. A fat man has to go on a diet, right? Because if he doesn't, he's gonna die. Right? It's not healthy. Now, the skinny man says, I'm jealous. How come I don't get to go on a diet? You know, it's not fair. Put me on a restricted 500 calorie diet. I want to be just like the men. Just like the fat man. I said, but you're not a fat person. And more than that, for you to go on that diet wouldn't be healthy for you. So the men are sick a little bit in terms of time. So they have to have mitzvahs that structure their times of their lives. Women, they're not sick in that area. They don't need it. It's not going to make them the better woman the way it makes the man a better man. So they don't need to do it. Okay, so at least it's not, God doesn't look at it as being destructive for them to do it. Some mitzvahs are destructive for women. For example, tefillin.
Right.
Women,
Rashi's daughters put on.
Okay, don't talk about Rashi's daughters. Okay, but regular women. The rabbis say women should not put on tefillin. Women should not put on tefillin. Women should not do Kiddush Levana. Women should not do, what was the other one I was thinking of? Oh, you confused me. No. Okay, I don't remember now. But there's a few that women should not do. Go learn Gemara. Women are not supposed to learn Gemara. Gemara says anyone who teaches his daughter Gemara, it's like he's teaching her immorality. Right? Not supposed to teach Gemara. Gemara said that. Because it's not good for women to learn Gemara. It's a negative. I don't want to get into why and all that, but there's a few like that. But I was like, okay, it's not going to be the end of the world. What if you're a healthy person, Martin? Do you need to take vitamins? You got all the vitamins. Your thyroid is good and your sugar is good.
It depends where you live.
You're a healthy person. You eat healthy and the doctor checked your blood.
Vitamin D3 now is really...
Let's say, theoretically, Martin, a perfectly healthy man, every vitamin in his body is what it should be. Yes, everything. And then take vitamins. You say, what for? Well, it couldn't hurt. Right? But do you need to take it? No. So it's like a vitamin. Women don't need a vitamin of shofar. So they don't have to bother with it. If they do it, okay, fine. But they're not obliged.
The second part
don't
of
feel
question.
Bad, guys. They got challenged.
What was the second part?
What was the second part, Ron?
Because that's
it's rabbinic, but still the same. But if the rabbis say they have to do it, then they have to do it. The Torah says you have to listen to what the rabbis
say.
Couldn't
you say that the women were at Sinai as well and hence would be obligated for shofar to...
Like no, but it's still a time-bound mitzvah.
Why is not an exception like Shabbos is an exception?
Okay, it's too complicated. I can't go through everyone.
Sorry,
Shabbos has a positive and a negative, and women are in the negative, and since the positive and the negative were said together at the same time, so if since they're in the negative, you have to include the positive. That's the only exception where the positive and the negative, Shomer Vazor, were said at the very same time. So you can't have one without the other. Okay. And once they have the negatives, they have to have the positives. Right?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Next. Mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chayim. What a person is a half servant and half free. How does that happen? Very simple. Two guys bought a servant. One freed his half and one didn't. So he's a half servant, half free man. Or vetumtum. A tumtum is a person who we don't know if he's male or female. His sexual area is covered up with lots of flesh, and we don't know what's inside. Right?
I think he was genitalia.
ambiguous genitalia, okay, something like that, or the androgynos, and androgynos has both the male and female
hermaphrodite.
Chayovim, they're obliged in the mitzvah. Why? Well, the last two, because it could be he's a man. It's a suffix, it's a doubt. So in terms of, we're not sure, do you have to go strict?
There's no prohibition for women on this one.
And so either he's a man or he's a woman. There's not a third one that I checked, right? So he says chayovim, he has to. Not if he wants to.
No, but I'm saying because there's no prohibition
for
women.
Yeah, it wouldn't be an aver if he did it, but he has to because in case he really is a man, it's a doubt. If he's a man, he really has to do it. And the half slave, for the half part, half of him is obliged, so he has to do it. Okay, now that we know this, now we come to the second step. Halacha Beis. Kol mi she'eino chayv v'dover. So now we'll go through our list of people who are not obliged. Who's not obliged? Women, Canaanite slaves, and minors. So if you're not obliged, eino motzi es chayv v'dover. They cannot discharge the obligation of someone who is obliged. In other words, a woman cannot blow the shofar for a man. We know a man, a man can blow for a man. I'm going to discharge your mitzvah because I'm obliged, you're obliged. If you haven't done your mitzvah, it's like I haven't done my mitzvah. Fine. So to discharge someone's obligation, you have to be just as obliged as he is.
Obligated.
Thank you. Henry's correcting me. He's saying it's obligated. The English language is obligated as opposed to obliged. He's right. In English, he's right. Okay? But, so in other words, why? Let's say I have an obligation to do it. He has an obligation. If I don't take care of him, then it's like I didn't do the mitzvah. So now I have to take care of him so I can blow for him. But a woman, she's not obligated in the mitzvah. So how am I able to help him out? I'm not obligated to begin with. So that's what he's saying. If you're not obligated, you can't help someone else. Right? Now, the truth is, what if you were obligated, you already did the mitzvah, and now someone comes along and didn't hear the shofar, a man already fulfilled the mitzvah. Can he blow for another guy? Yes, he can as well. Because all Jews are responsible one for another. As long as there's another male who hasn't done the mitzvah, it's like I didn't do the mitzvah. So what comes out of this? Rambam continues. Levigo, therefore, isha o katan shetaka b'shofar. If a woman or a child blew the shofar for an adult male, the ones who hear from them are not fulfilling your obligation. So you could not have a woman be the balat tokea in the temple. Okay? For the men. Cause she is not obliged, so she can't blow for anybody else. So now let's get a little particular.
A man who's fulfilled the obligation, can he blow for a woman?
Yeah.
For sure he can.
Even though she's not obliged.
But he's still, she is.
He's already grown. He's already heard.
He's already heard.
He can still blow for them. Can still blow for them. They still get a mitzvah. Still get a mitzvah.
Right.
Androgynos, the guy who's the half-half, right, he's got, what did you say, hermaphrodite, right? So now, can he blow for another hermaphrodite? I don't know why that's funny, but it's intriguing. Androgynos, you go to San Francisco, you'll find them. The synagogue of love and prayer. I don't know. You'll find a place. I don't know. We just need to know. We just need. Androgynos. Okay, gentlemen. Androgynos motzi esmino, and androgynos can discharge another androgynos, because androgynos are considered the same gender, right? In other words, androgynos is like this. Either all androgynoses are males, or they're all females. We don't know what they are, but they're going to be one or the other. So if they're, in other words, take 10 androgynos in a room, they each have a male and a female organ. So now we don't know what their status is, but it's either one of, either, or it could be three. Mm-hmm. Either they're a male, or they're a female, or they're a half and half. But one thing's for sure, one guy is the same as the next one.
Right?
One guy gal is like the other one, so he's as obligated as the other guy is obligated. So he can blow for them. Where are we going here though? Hold on now. Okay, Howard, come on. Tum tum, But a tumtum, where we don't know, what did you say it's called again?
It's covered up.
That's ambiguous.
Ambiguous genitalia, which means we don't really know what's going inside. Now that is either a man or a woman.
And one may not be the same.
We don't know. So ain't a motzi lo es mino. So one ambiguous genitalia person cannot discharge another one, because this is, who knows, which is a surprise. This one could be a man, well, this one could be a woman.
Right. So this is where the chromosome testing comes in.
Yes. All right. We're on a desert island, all right? So he can't discharge esmino velosha enamin. He can't discharge one that's not like him, certainly. He couldn't discharge a man or a woman. Well, a woman, I guess he could.
Yeah.
But he couldn't do a man.
Right. The big problem is, if the tumtum was a woman, then he can't discharge for that other tumtum that might be a man.
That's right. And since we don't know, that's what we're going to say. Next line. Shatumtum shenikra. When you cut open a tumtum, after shimotze zachi, you might find a man. After shimotze in a cave, you might find a woman. But still, we cut him open, we would not know. Gimel, v'chein mi shechetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorim. Let's go back to the guy who's half servant, half free. Ein amotza afilu saso. He can't even discharge himself. Let's say the guy says, "I'm going to blow the shofar just for myself." He can't discharge his own obligation. Why? She'ein tzad avdu shabo motzi tzad cher shabo. Because the part of him that's a servant cannot discharge the part of him that's a free man. In other words,
servants can't blow.
Who is blowing this shofar? Half of him that's a servant, and half of him that's not. We don't even have one whole person blowing.
Right.
So now, who's he discharging? The half of him that's a Jew has to be heard from a full blower.
Right.
A full blown blower.
Right? A half blower isn't good enough. Yeah. Right? Because if he's an Eved, he's a Goy. If a goy blows, it doesn't help. We're talking about an Eved Kanani, a Canaanite slave. If a goy blows, doesn't discharge anyone, not even a goy. Not even a goy.
We're talking about a Jew who was...
I said a Canaanite slave who's half Canaanite slave, half Jew. He's half free. So who's blowing that shofar? Half a Canaanite slave. That itself isn't even good for himself. Because the half that's Jewish is a whole half that's Jewish. Right. And that needs to be heard from a whole Jew, not from a half Jew. So it won't work. Ella, so now what's the poor guy gonna do? Ella Kate said, discharge application. Simple. Shishma ben Charm Shidgala. Have a free guy blow for him. Have a regular Jew. Free for him. A full blown, pardon the pun, a full blown Jew can discharge a half Jew because the half Jew part gets discharged by the full blown part of the Jew. All right, Dalit. Hamisaseg bitkiyah shofar. If a person is misaseg. Misaseg means he's fiddling around. It means as opposed to having kavana to do the mitzvah. Right? He can be practicing. He just be picking things, just blowing, whatever. He's just having a good time. He thinks he's a saxophone player. Just so happens, he blows perfect kiyush for him truas 100 times. Just happened to be the right combination that we're allowed to hear what he's saying. But he had no intention of doing the mitzvah of blowing the shofar. So misasek vitkiya shofar lislamid. Here's an example. The guy's blowing to learn. He's taking shofar lessons. He's taking shofar lessons. Happened to be the lessons were on Rosh Hashanah. And he's practicing. Or let's say he's just practicing. You know, he doesn't plan to the mitzvah, he's practicing. So, but let's say he said it 100% perfectly, and he happened to hear what he was blowing, and there are other people listening to his blowing, say, hey, you know, come to think of it, you just blew 100 beautiful notes.
No intention.
You know what? We don't have to go to shul today. No. Lo yotzi rechavaz, he has not discharged his obligation, because this Rambam is underscoring the point where there's a famous machlokas in the Talmud. Do mitzvahs need to have kavana or not? When you do a mitzvah, do you have to have the intention to fulfill the mitzvah when you're doing the mitzvah or not? Obviously, everyone agrees it's better to do it that way. But is it mandatory? So machlokas in the Gemara, unresolved. So the question is, goes on to the poskim now. So now the Rambam is saying, well, if the guy was blowing and he didn't have in mind to do the mitzvah, he has not fulfilled his mitzvah. Similarly, and if you hear the blowing from a person who was just misasek and didn't have kavana, you have not do not get the mitzvah. Now it's very interesting, this Rambam seems to contradict a Rambam in the laws of chametz and matzah. The Rambam says, if non-Jews or thieves force a person to eat matzah, and it happens to be the Seder night, but it wasn't, but he wasn't having in mind to be eating the matzah for the sake of the mitzvah. Right? Like you had Nebuch in the concentration camps. They'd make Jews eat, bread on Yom Kippur, whatever, you know. So what if they would force him to eat a matzah on Pesach? So anyway, these Ganovim, they say, listen, you're gonna eat this matzah. Okay, they force him to eat it. Okay, I'll eat it. We'll shoot you if you don't eat it. I'll eat it. And he wasn't thinking about it.
I didn't even know it was Pesach.
But he didn't think about it, whatever. He wasn't. We have to have in mind, oh, I'm fulfilling the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach. Oh, I had it in my mind. Okay, he wasn't having in mind, but happened to be Pesach and he ate it up. Over there, the Rambam says, you're Yotza. You have fulfilled your obligation. So all the commentaries have a field day. How do we resolve this difference? And there's a number of reasons. One reason is given, the difference between eating and hearing. When you're eating, your body benefits directly from the activity. So even if you didn't have intention, but your body benefited from what happened. As opposed to blowing a shofar, there's no real tangible benefit to the body. So they make that distinction. You can't say he didn't eat the matzah. He ate the matzah. He benefited from the matzah. And in that case, they say you don't have to have intention. They draw a parallel to that. But let's say a person does an avera without intention. So they make a big difference in what he's doing. You know, let's say he does something without thinking, generally speaking. Okay, we're not going to say you're chayav, but what if a person, you know, eats tray food or is misaseg in a forbidden sexual relationship? Well, he's derived a lot of pleasure from that activity, so we're going to say he's chayav for that, even if he didn't have kavana. But if it's something where you don't get any pleasure from it, let's say he didn't know it was Shabbos, he said, no, and he just flicked a twig off, then you could say misasik is potter. But if you're misasik and you're deriving benefit from it, we understand you're going to be chayiv. You're going to say, well, why should I get lashes for sleeping with the secretary? I wasn't really thinking about it. What are you talking about? You know, it was just misasik. We're just playing house, you know. You know, what are you talking about, man? You benefit from it. You got to be chayiv. That's a great excuse for your wife. Well, Reb Shimon says misasik is potter, so you have to forgive me. What are you talking about? You're benefiting from that. So just like you see there, you're chayiv for doing that. So if you're chayiv to that, so you should get credit for doing a mitzvah too if you're benefiting from it. That is one difference that they make. So when you're eating the matzah, you're benefiting from it. How are you going to say that you're not engaged in the mitzvah? Blowing a shofar is no real tangible. It's not a pleasurable thing to hear. It's not a benefit like hearing a beautiful musical instrument. Regarding the halacha, the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rambam regarding shofar and says, Misasek by shofar has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Similarly, for Kriya Shema, Lulav, Esrog, if you don't have in mind, you have not fulfilled the mitzvah. Regarding the matzah, the Shulchan Aruch quotes and says that if since it's eating, it's different. You have fulfilled
the mitzvah. Eating in a sukkah would be the same thing. That would be
benefit from eating. Well, that's the eating, but it's not really the sukkah. The sukkah isn't really the benefit for you, so maybe
not.
But how
about you first eat the matzah? You don't make a bracha. It's still your answer.
You can still be Yitzhak. Yeah. So that's how they make the distinction. Let's just finish up Halacha Tes, Dalet, and then we'll be finished for tonight. How about Niskaven Shoimea Lotzei Sidei Chovaso V'lo Niskaven Atokei Lahotzi. What if the guy who was listening wanted to have to fulfill the mitzvah, but the guy who was blowing didn't have a mind to do the mitzvah for anybody else? Or the opposite. Or Shniskaven Atokei Lahotzi, or the guy who was blowing wanted to discharge him. The guy listening didn't have in mind. Well, Yosei Chavosei has not, either case has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Both the listener and the one who makes the sound, both have to have gone to make it happen. It's very interesting. He brings over here a Magen Avraham that says, a person, where is that one? I saw it. Which halacha is this in? Dalet?
Dalet.
The Magen Avraham, he says, if a person comes to Shul on Rosh Hashanah, right, with the intention to hear the shofar, but that he came at 9 o'clock, and now they're blowing the shofar at 11, and 11 o'clock he's spaced out, he's not thinking, he's there, but he's not thinking, ooh, I have my limosa. Magen Avraham says, that's good enough. In fact, you came to Shul, why are you coming to Shul today? I want to hear shofar. Okay, now it's 2 hours later. He's in the shul. Well, at that precise second, were you thinking of fulfilling the biblical obligation of hearing the shofar and Rosh Hashanah? Well, I really wasn't thinking so much. I was just, you know. But, you know, you came to shul. You had in mind. So, the Magen Avraham, so at least for the Eved, for the Magen Avraham, you are Yotzei.
Does that make you in trouble if you're making Kiddush for all the people and you're trying to Yotzei for them, and you just didn't have in mind at that particular moment that you're making your Yotzei for them?
Maybe.
Well, you don't have to
show
for kids.
That's pretty
evident. But, no, he's saying if around the table. No, but you should always, that's why it's always good to verbalize that you want to be motzi everyone else.
But if I forget at that particular moment that I'm saying kids for everybody else, do they not get the mitzvah of being yotzei?
It could be a problem. Could be a problem. You might need to say Kiddush over.
If at Kiddush, you should always, like, aim at your own private Kiddush. You should be meeting your family members. Everybody should have intention.
You should say it. You should always say, we want to make
even
Kiddush.
Even if you don't think about it, you always have the intention.
It'd be a good child. It'd be a good child. Pidiyevit, probably not again. Pidiyevit, you want to do it again. But Chachatchili, you're not Yotzei. Okay. Rabbi Chananya ben Akash, I'm Rasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Zakeh Sofi here. Return to Shemar Nechvesman Sidko Yagdil Torah of the Adir.